Stu Does America, the state of the race.
Welcome to the state of the race. It is March 5th, 2024, 245 days until the general election. Coming up in this episode, well, Super Tuesday is here, and honestly, it's not too super. We have maybe the saddest Joe Biden story you will ever read, and Marianne Williamson is back from the dead. We'll get to all of that here on the program. But let's start with the key metrics of the race, and honestly, it's sort of a blowout. 78.7% for Donald Trump in the national Republican presidential nomination numbers, only 15.3% for Nikki Haley. Donald Trump has over a 90% chance to win the nomination, and honestly, it's way above 90% at this point. Only legal matters, really, or health issues could prevent it at this point. And Donald Trump's favorability among Republicans has been pretty consistent now for about four straight years, about plus 60. Right now, he's at plus 63.1%. Nikki Haley, who at one time was about plus 40, not as good as Trump, but still very high in the Republican Party, has lost all of her favorability among Republican voters and is now only plus 4%. She's taking quite a different path here as the nomination runs its course. Let's look at our candidate updates. Donald Trump can actually be on the ballot. Yes, the Supreme Court ruled, as you may have heard, 9-0 to say, of course, Colorado can't just pull Donald Trump off the ballot. That's not okay. It does not comport with the Constitution. If anyone's going to do that, it's going to have to be Congress. That would be another gigantic mess if they ever did do so. But of course, Colorado can't unilaterally do it. If this ruling came down the other way, it basically would have guaranteed that Donald Trump could not have been elected president, and there was no dissent whatsoever. Now, I am not at all surprised that this was a 6-3 type of ruling. Maybe even a 7-2 wouldn't have surprised me. A 9-0 actually does surprise me. It's a good sign, I suppose, for the court. But getting Sotomayor is honestly a shock to me. There's some other stuff in there we can get into maybe on a later episode. The details of it aren't quite as positive as maybe the headline. However, long story short, Donald Trump will be on the ballot and Colorado can't universally and unilaterally pull off Trump from their ballots. Nikki Haley is continuing to go on. Obviously, Super Tuesday is here. A lot of people asking, why is she bothering to continue? The other question, though, to ask is, why not? I mean, if you're Nikki Haley, you've come this far. You've already lost all these primaries. Super Tuesday is right here. You might as well see, I guess, what you're going to do. I don't expect Nikki Haley to go on past Super Tuesday. Though, stranger things have happened. At this point, she's really not running to win the primary. She's running for her positioning after the primary and potentially as an alternate if something serious happens to Donald Trump in the legal realm. And Nikki Haley, for what it's worth, also did back the Supreme Court ruling saying that Donald Trump should be able to stay on the Colorado ballot. Now, I mentioned we had possibly the saddest Joe Biden story that is possible, and it comes from the New York Times. It's thousands of words, and if you want to, if you're looking for a reason to commit suicide, you may want to actually read this. It may put you over the edge, but I will say it is, wow, a rough one. Joe Biden's superfans think the rest of America has lost its mind. Talking about the people who absolutely love Joe Biden. And you might say, well, nobody loves Joe Biden. Well, they found 12 people who do in this article, and it is just some of the saddest reading you'll ever see. They just don't understand why everyone else doesn't say Joe Biden as the greatest candidate of all time like they do. It is really depressing. This one is particularly sad. Dakota Galvin, 28, has a day job in human resources at a construction company, but he also serves as the chair of Davidson Democrats, a county party organization based in Nashville. He loves Mr. Biden, quote, and I feel like I'm the only one, he said, arguing that the news media has overwhelmingly focused on Mr. Biden's tepid support. Quote, does anybody care that I exist? sadly, no. Frankly, they don't. But the whole thing is just filled with these little anecdotes that are just depressing as all get out. I encourage you to read as much of it as you can before you do something damaging to yourself in a depression sort of sense. And Marianne Williamson has re-entered the race. You may have heard this. She dropped out initially. She was gone. And then she actually beat Dean Phillips for second place, or actually third behind Uncommitted, in the Michigan primary, and then said, hey, I'm getting back in. Why is she getting back in? She says, we need a real ceasefire candidate, someone who really supports and is really on the side of Hamas in this one. There's just not enough people supporting Hamas these days, and apparently Joe Biden too pro-Israel, which is not how I would describe him. No, it is not. But Marianne Williamson wants you to know, if you really want a ceasefire in Israel and with Gaza and the Palestinians, she's your gal, and she is there for you, and the 3% of the vote she will probably get.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
And finally, on today's focus, we're going to look in depth on Super Tuesday. And look, I mean, if you go back in history, let me go back with you a little bit to the 1980s. I was growing up watching the Super Bowl, and I remember watching, a bunch of blowout games. You know, San Francisco beating Miami 38-16 in 1985. Then the next year was Chicago, that great Bears team, 46-10 over New England. The next year, another blowout. The Giants over Denver, 39-20. Next year, Washington 42, Denver 10. After Denver got out to an early lead, Washington and Doug Williams and Timmy Smith just blow them away. You had one close game, then San Francisco 55-10. Then you had a couple of, you know, mildly competitive games. Washington did beat Buffalo handily, but then Dallas blows out Buffalo 52-17, blows out Buffalo again 30-13. San Francisco 49, San Diego 26. I go through all this because this is what I remember as a kid watching the Super Bowl. I was always pumped up for it, but every game seemed like it was a complete blowout, and you get so excited, and you'd watch the Bud Bowl, and you get excited for the commercials, and you get the kickoff, and then all of a sudden, by like the second quarter, the game's outcome was not in doubt. Well, that's how I feel, honestly, about Super Tuesday this year. We had a lot of hype building up to it. We kind of thought there'd still be a race going on here, but frankly, Donald Trump has kind of been the 1985 Bears. He has dominated the field. Everybody in the field, he's out of the field with the exception of Nikki Haley. I mean, even Ryan Binkley dropped out the other day. There's nobody left, and now we have a Super Tuesday that is really without drama. And I give you credit. You are an amazing person. We're listening to State of the Race on Super Tuesday, even though we don't have much drama, because this is just, you know, not the type of race that lends itself to a primary. I mean, it's frankly unbelievable that we had a lot of decent candidates in the race, and just we didn't get a race. So it shows the strength of Donald Trump, and I guess, I mean, Joe Biden, he didn't really have much opposition, but Donald Trump wiped out the field. And he is cruising to this nomination. We'll give you a quick rundown. Maybe some of the delegate talk is interesting, I guess. Alabama has a primary, of course, on Super Tuesday. 50 delegates at state, 29 statewide delegates, and 21 congressional district delegates. I don't expect really Nikki Haley to get any of those. You have a caucus in Alaska, 29 delegates up for grabs. Because I'm patriotic, it's my favorite Samoa, American Samoa. Yes, the caucus is there. 11 delegates are going to be handed out through that primary. Arkansas has a primary as well, 40 delegates, 28 statewide, 12 congressional district delegates. That is three per district. We will see if Nikki Haley can get anything out of Arkansas. California, it's, you know, we'll see. There's it's kind of a mess there. No party preference voters who want to cast ballots for presidential candidates in either the Democratic, Libertarian, or American Independent primary must request a ballot from their local county elections office. We will see if there's anything interesting here. My guess is not really, but there's 169 delegates that get handed out. Winner takes all if a candidate gets over 50% of the statewide race. And that is exactly what, of course, you would expect with Donald Trump. So even though you could certainly see pockets of California that might be friendly to Nikki Haley, the rules just don't support her getting anything here. Colorado has a primary, 37 delegates at stake. Again, same as California. If you get over 50%, you take all of them. Probably what will happen in Colorado. Then you have Maine. Has a primary, 20 delegates on the Republican side, a winner-take-all where a candidate gets over 50% of the statewide vote. Again, just really not a great rules system for Nikki Haley. Same in Massachusetts. Again, you think maybe Massachusetts is a place where Nikki Haley can make some noise. Well, not really, because there's only two candidates left, and Donald Trump is likely going to win handily, and if he gets over 50% of the vote, he gets all 40 delegates. In Minnesota, 39 delegates up for grab, 15 statewide, and 24 for congressional districts, 3 per district. If someone gets over 85% of the vote, they will earn all of the delegates. That's probably unlikely, but Trump very well might get all of the delegates anyway. Haley could pick off a few in Minnesota. North Carolina has a primary, 74 delegates up for grabs, 32 statewide, 42 congressional district delegates. Little room for Nikki Haley there, potentially. Oklahoma with a primary, 43 delegates, 28 statewide, and 15 handed out through congressional districts. Again, winner take all where a candidate exceeds 50% of the vote in each district. Then on in Tennessee, you have 58 delegates on the Republican side, 31 statewide, 27 handed out through 9 congressional districts. If you get two-thirds of the vote, there, winner take all in each of those districts. Texas, obviously lots of delegates on the line. Big state, 161 delegates, 47 for the statewide race, and then 114 for the congressional districts. It is going to be a mess there as far as figuring out who's going to get the most or each and every congressional district. But bottom line there is Donald Trump's going to get almost all the delegates. Utah has a primary, which is kind of a funky one. They also have a caucus for the Republicans. 40 delegates there. Winner can take all when you get 50% of the statewide vote. Vermont has a primary, 17 delegates on Super Tuesday. Winner take all for 50% of the statewide vote. All these states that have that rule are really going to go to Donald Trump without probably too many questions and even, honestly, a delay after the polls close. Virginia's primary has 48 delegates. You got 12 statewide, 33 divided through 11 congressional districts. Each one, you winner take all when you get 15% of the 50% of the vote. You got to get 15% of the vote to get any delegates. And that's all your states. We went through all of them. Did you need to know all that information? Probably not. But, I mean, look, you're listening to State of the Race in a blowout race on Super Tuesday. So I give you credit for that. At least you got all the information in case you were concerned about your state or a nearby state. But that is basically the state of the race for right now. And I will say the state of this podcast is interesting because we really didn't get a primary. So we're going to keep giving you state of the race updates, but this really converts now to a general election podcast after today. Likely the race will either be completely over with Nikki Haley dropping out, or Donald Trump will be so close to the nomination, there's really not going to be much more to cover. We will still be here to cover Donald Trump's legal ups and downs, and that will be, I think, the near-term focus. We get into the summer, we will have, of course, the conventions, and then we will get into serious crunch time. And whenever we get big polls and things like that, we'll not only be covering here on State of the Race, but of course also on Stu Does America. There's still tons of really interesting stuff going on with the election, but it just is not the primary this year, and that is a credit to Donald Trump, who was able to keep, you know, his voters on board. The most recent poll showed 97% of voters who voted for Donald Trump in 2020 plan to vote for him again. That's a very, very strong number, much stronger than the numbers that Joe Biden has. And this is the challenge for Joe Biden. He's, you know, people remember exactly what he's done to the country and they don't like it very much. Donald Trump, you know, time passes and the anger of the moments, if you didn't like his tweets or you didn't like, you know, January 6th or whatever the thing that may have fired you up against Donald Trump back in 2020, it's kind of ancient history after the, watching Joe Biden for the past few years. And that seems to be where voters' heads are right now. Democrats have a lot of work to close this up. They will, of course, put that work in. They will do everything they can to try to take this election, and the media will be with them every step of the way. But we won't. We'll be here just to call balls and strikes. That's what we do here on State of the Race. We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.